What does your organization call the people who walk through the door of your facility? Do you call them patients, customers, maybe consumers? Does your organization know why it uses that term? Let's say you wanted to improve their experience. Where would you start? Where does their relationship with you start and where does it end? Does your organization take an empathetic approach to this question? Well, welcome to Steps to Value, the People, Process, and Technology podcast from HIMSS. I'm Rod Pihowski, and in this episode, we dig into these and other questions with our guest, Sanjay Shah. Sanjay is the Director of Strategic Innovation at Dignity Health, and in this conversation, he shares his insights on the patient journey, the cultural touch points that communicate your organization's view of the patient, identifying your friction points, and how all of that translates to the digital realm. So what's at your digital doorstep? A welcome mat? Or a sign that says, keep out. Stay tuned for more coming up. Look forward to tomorrow's health system today at the HIMSS Innovation Center, an immersive, interactive, educational experience. The Innovation Center showcases new ways that IT enables informed, shared decision-making and safer, more cost-effective care where it's needed. Become an active participant in the transformation of health at the HIMSS Innovation Center. Schedule your visit at HIMSSinnovationCenter.org. Sanjay Shah is the Director of Strategic Innovation at Dignity Health. Sanjay, thank you for joining us.
Great to be here.
Well, let's talk about customers and patients and, you know, our relationship with them in healthcare. How do you define a durable relationship with customers in healthcare, and what does that really look like?
You know, I think it's at this point in time in care and where, whether you call them customers, patients, consumers, it's really understanding that healthcare is no longer just an episodic service. It's not something we deliver at a point in time when someone needs it most, because that is not how you build a relationship. Now, that is how you keep or maintain a relationship, and you may be able to establish or initiate a relationship, but to maintain one, you know, in really over a long period of time, it's about putting ourselves as an industry in the shoes of the consumer, understanding their needs before they were even thinking about needing healthcare services, to the point in time when they actually need to consume them, or after they even experience healthcare services, and just really being mindful of all the steps that can happen along that journey and seeing how we can reduce the friction points throughout that journey, and also keeping a very clear, distinct message and level of service and experience through that journey. And that's how, you know, it's nothing novel, really, per se, because there are plenty of other industries that do this, but it is novel to healthcare as we move from really just episodic care to really taking care of someone throughout their entire journey of healthcare needs and experiences, and really throughout their life.
Yeah, and that seems like kind of a bit of confusion. You know, we talk about consuming healthcare services and products, and you use the word episodic, and yet we're trying to get people to think of it more as a lifetime engagement with a healthcare provider. And do you deal with that at all? And how do you try and break down that distinction?
Well, I mean, it's a point of confusion, right? That we're all working through, both as a society, as an industry, as consumers. You know, healthcare as a service, it's one of those interesting services, right? It's not like we're talking about purchasing something on Amazon. And sometimes you are, actually, ironically, but you know, we're not talking about purchasing a consumer product good or a brand new car, things that people really want or desire. We're talking about something people may need at a point in time that can be a very difficult time in someone's life. And so while there's this need, you know, we talk about disposable incomes and the ability to plan ahead, I guess we're now starting to shift the conversation around health to almost think about, like, you know, financial management. And again, in financial management, you're talking about, I want to save for my future children's college fund. I want to be able to purchase a house. You're not saying, in the healthcare world, I want to be able to cover any future healthcare purchase, because you just don't think that way. So there's this notion around, yes, we want to be healthy as individuals and as a community. The best way to do that may actually be to focus on the earlier parts of health and preventative care, which doesn't necessarily require someone having to come into a hospital, having to come see a physician. And that's a shift in experiences, a shift in expectations. So I think everybody is, you know, we know what we think we want as individuals, you know, as humankind, which is, I want to be healthy. Yet the practice of being healthy for so long meant when I get sick, I have to go in. And we're now just starting to see if we can shift that as both, you know, really our everyday practice and even as an industry when we practice it from a business perspective as well.
Earlier in your comments, you mentioned a little bit the difference in terminology between patients and customers and consumers and things like that. Could you go a little bit more into that, and how does Dignity parse those terms, and what impact does the use of those terms have on our perspective of the people who we deal with?
I think from a semantic perspective, you can consider patient as another term for customer once that customer has consumed Dignity Health Services or established that they're using or have purchased or will be purchasing Dignity Health Services from a healthcare perspective or even a wellness perspective. And then there's this other term out there that's a potential consumer. So that's someone who we have not necessarily established a relationship with, but they may be out there looking for healthcare materials, looking for healthcare education, looking for a service, looking to find a physician. And so they're out there searching. Those are consumers who are out there shopping and searching, and we want to be relevant for them as well. And then once they've gone ahead and selected and established a relationship with Dignity Health, that's when we transition to them as being, I guess, a traditional patient or customer of Dignity Health Services. And I think to your second point, while that's the semantics of how we might describe someone in terms of where they are, even in their shopping journey for healthcare services, it's how do we react as an organization? So thinking about refreshing our digital front door and standing up our office of digital in the past year and really thinking about how people search, find, explore, book services, experience services, and then adding on digital layers on top of traditional clinical layers to, again, really make things convenient, easy, many times more cost-effective to support what's happening to this industry, which is, and we've been talking about consumerism in healthcare for quite some time, but what we're really, really referencing now more than ever is people have to be really wise with their healthcare spend in dollars because of how much of an impact it can be to their own bottom line pocket. And so whatever we can do in our world from our health systems perspective, which brings in this element of hello human kindness into a clinical environment and making sure we're taking care of that entire individual, is how we look at this role of engaging consumers and then making sure that that's an extension of our culture and our touch points. So yes, we know you're going to get that when you touch our facilities, when you are in touch with our clinicians in person, but we have to extend that look and feel in the digital realm, in the realm where even in search, where when people are out there, they're getting that same look and feel and making sure there's no disconnect either way, that you feel like you had an amazing experience before you got to our facility in the mobile or digital realm. And then when you get here, there was some disconnect either by the look and feel or what you thought you were going to experience, and vice versa, that if you started with the clinical interaction, when you leave our facility, you still have that same feeling of engagement and relationship and really an organization that cares about you, even in how we do our mobile footprint or how we may contact you, whether it be by text, by phone call, by email, by the app, by your portal, that it doesn't feel like a drop-off in how you were supported in an in-person setting and then when you leave our facilities.
I liked your use of the term digital front door. How open is your digital front door? If people are looking for information and education to consume, is that available to them? And it sounds like from what you're saying, you're welcoming them already as a member of the organizational family before they become technically patients. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think, and that's a transition in healthcare in general, and we have to give a lot of credit to Dr. Shez Partovi, his teammates Michael C. Graves and Kelly Summers in our Office of Digital at Dignity Health, which is really taking and transforming what was our digital experience, which could have been various websites and multiple phone numbers and the mobile presence and various page web pages after web pages, and really simplifying it and cleaning it up so that real search engine optimization tools for when someone's out in Google, they land on a Dignity Health page and it feels like a seamless flow into what they were looking for. So if it was a maternity or an expecting or planning from a maternity perspective couple or even an individual, if they started out there in the internet and Google typing in a few keywords, and if they land on a Dignity Health page, how do we make sure that experience weaves through? And again, to your point, Rod, that's where we're looking at. You still may not be consuming Dignity Health services today, but we want to be able to scope the information in a way that's relevant to you. And we know that a lot of people, if they're going directly to a site, like a healthcare site like dignityhealth.org, you're going there to find a physician. So making sure that that's a relevant and easy-to-use experience is something that we've spent a lot of time on and in our Office Digital has. So you know, there's really a strong focus on allowing consumers to easily navigate the site and at the same time still learn about Dignity Health, the experience, our mission, our passion, our goals for improving the community as they're going through that experience, but making sure that it's done in a way where their view or their perspective for what their healthcare services or healthcare needs might be is on the forefront. And as they're going through that review and analysis, they'll learn about the other things that we want to share with them, with our mission and our hope to be able to serve everyone who needs help and support and everything else that we want to make sure that people do as, you know, as we are as citizens in a community.
Yeah, the user experience goes way beyond your interaction with technology then.
It has to, right? Your consumer journey. Just think about what people rate today when they call their experience. And this is what we're looking at from our perspective as well. You may have a fantastic in-person clinical experience, including a physician and a clinical team and a caregiver team with fantastic bedside manner. But if it was very difficult to schedule an appointment, or if you went into the waiting room and you got the wobbly chair, or as you're filling out the registration form, A, you're having to refill the same information you felt like you had to fill three times over, or B, you get the clipboard that has the pen that doesn't work, to the point of discharge, and what is that process like? And, you know, do we really focus on creating what used to be, you know, 24 hours of chaos and actually making it a digestible and smooth transition with education and resources that you can engage with? And do we catch up with you afterwards to just make sure that you got tucked in home, whether you came into one of our hospital facilities, you engaged one of our outpatient clinics, or you engage one of our digital clinics or urgent care clinics? So the experience really is an end-to-end journey or thought process that we have to work on collectively within Dignity Health system to continuously improve and think about all those points. And we do most of that, obviously, from our own perspective and looking at it, but we've also respected the fact that we need to bring in partners who maybe do this every day and maybe bring in elements of hospitality or elements of workflow improvement or life flow improvement, if you're looking at it from either the clinical side or the consumer side, and come up with partnerships that also allow us to establish improvements in that consumer experience.
You also used the term friction points earlier in the discussion. Traditionally, what have healthcare providers gotten right about managing their relationships with their patients, and what have they done wrong?
You know, that's a good question, because I think we all, as health systems, assess that point regularly, and we do postmortems to understand. And even from a regulatory perspective, you think about how health systems are being supported or evaluated when it comes to quality ratings and HCAHPS scores. I think historically we have found that we look for things that have an impact on the clinical outcome. And we always want to make sure that we're driving better clinical outcomes. And historically, a lot of them, and this is for the industry as a wide statement, would be they're focused on things that are more clinical in nature and didn't necessarily weave into it the right service metrics. And I think now there's this transition, and even ourselves, right, the focus on Hello Human Kindness and making that an element of everything that we do. If we're going to impact or improve an individual's clinical outcome or health outcome, it's just as important to focus on all the other softer touches or issues or tangential elements of the healthcare experience to help improve that clinical outcome. Because no matter what you do from a scientific perspective, if we don't also help someone feel better and feel like they got a great experience, it may limit their ability to react to that clinical outcome. There's a lot of interesting studies out there. And I'd also say, you know, the second piece of all that, which is what we're starting to all strive for more, is that a lot of the current ways in which we can measure our performance are too retrospective or take too long for us to be able to do something in real time. So when you think about a lot of your HCAHPS scores, very important metrics, but in order to measure them accurately, appropriately, and see when you're moving something up or down or what's the impact, you have to wait, you know, quite a bit of time post someone's actual healthcare interaction. And if we want to move more towards as real time as possible, in a respectable amount of time to be able to improve or service recovery at that point in time, when in an individual's healthcare instance, we've got to find ways, and we're all collectively now, I think, as industry, and what I love about some of our partnerships is that we're looking at ways to bring in more agile consumer-driven elements, whether they be technology-driven or service-driven, from other sectors, where we can understand how someone is feeling or doing within their care journey as soon as possible, and in a more relevant perspective, so that we can actually do something about it to improve upon it if it's not trending well. And I think that's probably where, as an industry, we spend a lot of time investing on what are the right, I'll call them Uber metrics, or things that we really need to benchmark ourselves against. But to get there, there are a lot of little things, or KPIs, or key performance indicators, or micrometrics that we could be doing in more real time that could both benefit the patient in real time and still feed into those more standard metrics on the back end.
We have listeners who are no doubt wondering, where do I start? From a provider perspective, if they wanted to improve their customer relationships, if they wanted to start to build a program as you have, what would be a couple of things they could do immediately that take it out of the textbook and make it operational?
Sure. I think the first thing is to remember, and there's a lot of great public content on this. So to your point, it's literally like you can go out there, search it, and do this. It takes time, but your staff will know what happens in a patient's journey that's not going well, that's breaking down, and assessing that from end to end. And just pick one service line, or pick, you know, one experience, and understand that and assess it from end to end, and look for all the points of friction that you're creating that create a negative experience. That's the first thing you can do, is assess your own environment and find all those points of friction. Put yourself in that customer's perspective, right? Put yourself in the consumer's perspective and go through that shopping experience, if you will, or go through that healthcare experience and go, these are all the things I could see someone wouldn't like. And that gives you a lens on what you're putting your customers or your patients into from an environment perspective, as well as a lens by what you need to solve for. The second thing I would recommend, if you're looking to improve upon this space, is to find this blend of technology and services that also, you can't make it better for one side of the house and worse for the other. And what I mean by that is, there are a lot of things today that are built for consumers, and there are a lot of things that are potentially built for providers. But if they don't keep the other side of the house in perspective when it's in development, you are creating a healthcare experience that's going to have friction points that don't necessarily have to be there, or that will at some point break down. Right? They may not be today's bottleneck, they may not be today's issue, but as they continue over time, they will cause an issue in that experience from end to end. And sometimes those things in themselves create opportunities for you to improve upon. And, you know, I'm happy to share some partnerships if you'd like, but I think that's a key element of design, which is what's good for the patient or the consumer should also be good for your clinical team and your providers. And therefore, you know, you're then creating a really good or impactful journey when it comes to the healthcare experience that can be sustainable.
Great insights. We have one question we ask all of our guests, and this doesn't have to come from the domain of healthcare, but what's your favorite technological invention, and what do you think its impact has been on our culture?
This one to me is a double-edged sword. So I love where we're going with mobile and cellular technologies and the ability to be connected and integrated, both from a data perspective, from a phone call perspective, right? We're able to do this podcast, and this will be streamed in a medium where people can take it on their phone, they can take it on their tablet, they can listen to it on the web, and they can consume it in various amounts of ways. And it's opened up the world into how different services can be consumed, searched for, purchased, experienced. It's amazing. And I call it double-edged sword because it's the same thing that's eliminating the way we connect with people. So, you know, there was a time when you got on a plane or you got on a train and the only thing you could do was actually talk to the people around you. And you did that. And you had amazing conversations. And you learned something about someone. And you made a human-to-human connection. And today, the first thing we probably all do is we get on that ride that we've got coming up and we pop in our earbuds or your ear pods if you've got something that's not connected, or, you know, your Dre Beats headphones, and you tune into the content that is super customized to yourself. So it's this double-edged sword where it's a technology that can connect us to so much, and yet at the same time, it seems to be isolating ourselves from the people who are immediately around us. And so there's this balance now that we're going to probably right-size over time pretty quickly about how to make sure that this technology is not only an asset in our lives, but also we start to catch some of these things that we're creating or enabling that we might not consider positive traits for our society. So, I mean, it's not the new one, right? But mobile technologies in worlds that didn't have landline infrastructure have been amazing in their adoption, and they're doing it with feature phones, not necessarily smartphones. And in our world, what we're able to now do with these technologies here from a healthcare delivery perspective are fantastic. But the key element of design is to make sure that it integrates with that experience, with those personal touches. Yes, some consumers will be super delighted that they never have to talk to a clinician and they can get their healthcare needs solved for via a mobile platform or interface, and we want to service them. But at the same time, if you start through that experience and you feel like you need to touch someone or you need to talk to someone, we should easily integrate that and support that and not make that feel as if it's a nuisance or burden, because that's still a point in the way, especially as something as personal as healthcare, as people need to connect with as well.
Thank you for that. Sanjay Shah is the Director of Strategic Innovation at Dignity Health. Sanjay, once again, thank you so much for being our guest today.
You got it. Thanks, Rod. Take care.
Hi, my name is Jesse Bird. I bring value to HIMSS members by creating strategic connections with our nonprofit partners and industry leaders to work together to transform health. You're listening to Steps to Value.
Without knowing your friction points, you can't have an honest discussion about improving the patient journey using technology. Do you know yours? Our thanks to our guest, Sanjay Shah, Director of Strategic Innovation at Dignity Health, for sharing some great tips on how to make a great impression using technology and a little bit of organizational introspection. Steps to Value is a copyrighted production of HIMSS North America. The series is co-produced by Adam Baser. Kelly Lippitt is our guest relations manager and story editor. I'm Rod Pihowski. Thanks for listening. Please join us next time on Steps to Value.